Okay, we're going to go to the book of Galatians. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 4. And I'm going to read this. I'd like to read this together before we get into this. We've got Taylor back. The section that we're going to read, it is an illustration really driving the point home regarding the righteousness by grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the point of this section is that legalism, righteousness by way of works or righteousness by way of the law, and the righteousness of God, which is by the grace of God, a gift accomplished by Jesus Christ, that the two cannot coexist together. That's the point. And we'll see that as we go. You know, we've spent a lot of time in Galatians before I read here. And we've really spent a lot of time, as Paul has spent a lot of time with these saints, really beginning with the opening verses of Galatians. A lot of time regarding the righteousness of God that is by grace rather than works. And this is something that is woven throughout all of the church epistles. It comes up over and over and over and over through the epistles. We'll look at a couple examples this morning. This is absolutely critical to understand, regardless of what is going on in my life. I may need wisdom regarding my kids. I may need wisdom regarding my marriage. I may need wisdom regarding a lot of things. I may need help in all those things. But if my understanding of my right standing before God isn't right, then nothing else matters. That is critical. That I understand my access to my Heavenly Father, and that it's not based on what I do. It's not based on how good I am. You understand? That is critical. And so you see it, and that's really the gospel story. It's that Jesus Christ paid the price. This is a gift by grace. You now belong to me. So walk by that grace. And as you walk, relying on God, not yourself, you will become more and more Christ-like. Okay? That's it. That's the Bible. Yeah. Let's read this section that we're going to look at today. Beginning in verse 21. It says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. but the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. I know that that all makes perfect sense to every one of you. Father, I want to thank you for your word, and thank you for just opening these things up. That, Father, we can see the great but simple truths that you have in here. For each one of us, Father, thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. What we're reading here is an allegorical illustration. We're considering records from the Old Testament, and Paul is using those records under inspiration of Holy Spirit to drive home a point. And we'll see what that point is as we go here. Before we get into this, I want to make the point that this does not mean, nor does this give anybody license, to approach the word and make an allegory out of everything you read. Okay? That's the road to stupidity. This is being done under inspiration of Holy Spirit. Okay? And it is dealing with a situation where, again, these legalists, these Judaizers, were coming in. You had saints who had believed on Jesus Christ, who had been given salvation by grace, the price being paid by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bearing the judgment that we all deserve. They believed that. These legalists were coming in and saying, but you need to, in this case, you need to be circumcised. You need to observe these days, these months, these feasts, these holidays. And then you'll be righteous. Okay? And that's what was being confronted here in the scriptures that we're reading. So verse 21 reads, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? This phrase, I just want to take a minute here, this phrase, under the law. It's what you do before God to make you right before Him, as opposed to grace, which is what God has done for us. To put yourself under law or legalism really becomes about you rather than about God. It's about what you do rather than what God has done in Christ. And you know where that lands? It lands with you in some shape, some way, taking credit for your righteousness. And you know where that lands? That lands in you in some shape or some way, judging another. Because you're doing just a little bit better than they are. Did you ever hear such a thing? That's where these things land. Then verse 22, it reads, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman." Before we go on, I'm going to story time a little bit of this. I'm going to read a few scriptures. I don't know. I think most of you are familiar with these records. And we've looked at a couple of these verses. Genesis 15. This is where God promises Abraham. You know, look at the stars of heaven. Can you know? So shall thy seed be. We've seen earlier in Galatians that the seed that God ultimately was referring to was Jesus Christ. And that it would be through Christ all the nations of the earth would be blessed. You remember that? Well, Abraham, while he believed God, he was a man like you and I. And in Genesis 16, we read a record of Abraham and Sarah, who was barren, and they received an Egyptian slave by the name of Hagar. It had been about 10 years after God promised Abraham seed, a son. Sarah was still barren. She had this great suggestion. "Abraham, we're going to kind of like help God along here. I know he promised the seed, but here's what I'm thinking. Take Hagar, and I will bear a child by her." So she gave Hagar to Abraham to wife. Now, these kinds of things don't typically end well, as was the case here. Hagar did become pregnant. And when that happened, Hagar looked at Sarah, it says in Genesis 16, with disdain. Sarah was not all warm and fuzzy about this. She turned around and yelled at Abraham. He should have seen this coming. So the result is she kicks Hagar out. Hagar is on her own. An angel comes and says, "You're going to have a son. You're going to name him Ishmael. He's going to be like a wild donkey. And he's going to fight against his kin all of his days. But I will make a nation out of him." So she goes back to Sarah. Okay? That's Genesis 16. Make a note of it. Read these records. They're really something. Genesis 17. God gives Abraham circumcision. And Abraham says, "Oh, that Ishmael would live before you." God says, "No. No. That's not the promised son. Your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son." Well, that comes to pass later in Genesis 21. You have a bunch of things that happen, Sodom and Gomorrah, some other things. And then Genesis 21, Sarah becomes pregnant. Abraham is now 100 years old. He cannot have children. Neither can Sarah. She hadn't been able to have children her whole life, and the way of women had ceased with her, it says in the Word. So physically, she could have no children. But guess what? They had a child. It was a child of promise. And God did this in a way where it could only be a miracle. It could only be brought to pass by God. Man could have nothing to do with it. Because Abraham was unable to have children. Sarah was unable to have children. But Sarah got pregnant with that promised son. Isn't that beautiful? Well, time goes on. Isaac is that the son of promise. He grows. He's 12 years old. And they're having, he said the weaning. It's about 12 years old when they cease to be weaned, I think they called it. And Sarah noticed Ishmael laughing, mocking, I think it says in King James, laughing. And Sarah says to Abraham, the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of promise. And Abraham said, he wasn't happy about it, but he said, okay. So he fixed Hagar up, made sure she had what she needed, and cast her out. That's the story. And that is the story that Paul is referring to here. Okay? So, here in verse 22, in 22 of Galatians chapter 4, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, okay? One by a slave woman, Ishmael, and one by a free woman, Sarah. Okay, so you've got, there are a number of comparisons that are going to take place here. I don't want to get too into the weeds here. But the first one is going to be Christianity, true Christianity by grace, by promise, and legalism. That's the point of this. There's an allegory being done. And it's legalism versus grace. Slavery versus freedom. Bondage versus freedom. This is what's being drawn. Okay? One being compared to the other. Then it goes on, verse 3. Or verse 23, rather. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Okay? The one was born out of unbelief, and the other from faith, from believing. One was born as a result of the work done in an attempt to bring about God's promise. Remember, Sarah said to Abraham, take Hagar. We're going to help this thing along. The other was simply God bringing his promise to pass. And the allegory that's being drawn here is legalism denies God's promise. Do you see it? Legalism is your helping to be righteous before God. When God says, it's a gift by grace, by the work of Jesus Christ. When I take it upon myself to help God, I am robbing glory from God. Which is what Galatians opened up with. See? Are these things making sense?
Yes.
Okay. The son of promise was a miracle of God. It was something, and this is significant. Isaac was a promise offered by God and brought to pass by God. Abraham didn't have much to do with it. Then verse 24 reads, now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are the two covenants. Okay? One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Number one, these teachers, these false teachers, were working very hard to bring these saints back under the law. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 25, and I think this will help us. Let me read 24 again. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Now, let me take a minute with this. Mount Sinai, you can read about this in Exodus 19 and 20. Mount Sinai is where Moses received the law, the Mosaic law. I think most of you are familiar with that record. That law in this allegory represents the covenant of bondage. When it's compared to what Christ has brought. Okay? Galatians 3:23 states it this way. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law. Do you remember that? Imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. That's what the law was. The law pointed out our helplessness. It pointed out our sin. It pointed out our inability to walk righteously. It wasn't that the law was unrighteous. The law wasn't bondage in and of itself, but it put us in bondage because we couldn't do the law. We couldn't attain to that righteousness. That's what the law did. So in that sense, the law, or Sinai, represents the covenant of bondage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 states it this way, when comparing the old covenant or the covenant of law with what Jesus Christ has brought to pass. It refers to the covenant of law as the ministry of death, when it's compared to the ministry of the Spirit, when it's compared to the freedom that came with Christ, the righteousness by grace that came with Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. I'll just read it to you. You can note it down if you like. It reads this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. That's what the law pointed out. That's why it was bondage. It pointed out how weak we were and the need for a Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it reads, again comparing that law with the ministry of the Spirit, with what Christ has brought. Verse 13 reads, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. When Moses would meet with God, he would put a veil over his face. His face shone. But the veil, what it would do, it would hide that glory, that shining. It would fade and go away. And what that represented was the fading of the law. Remember, we just read earlier in chapter 4, it was our schoolmaster, it was our guardian until what? Faith came. It got to a point that Hagar, who had Ishmael, was there and lived together until the promised child came, and then they could no longer reside together. And so it is with legalism and grace. Once grace has come, they can no longer live under the same roof. So Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia where the law was given. Then it says she corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. As far as the present Jerusalem, I just read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 regarding the veil. The next verse reads this. But their minds, referring to the Israelites, the Jews, their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. There's a record in Acts 21 when Paul goes to Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem, and James says, do all that we say. He says, look, brother, how many Jews that believe, and they are all zealous for the what? For the law. Was that right? No, it wasn't right. It was true. That was the case. It refers to Jerusalem being in bondage. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Jerusalem, which was the head or the capital or the fountainhead of this legalism, of this Judaism, which was being pushed upon the new believers, the Christians. You can read about it all through the book of Acts. There's a reason for this. It's coming up very quickly because it's really beautiful how this allegory continues. So you've got Mount Sinai representing the covenant of bondage, Jerusalem, which is in bondage with her children. Okay, that earthly Jerusalem. Verse 26, but in contrast to that, the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. The Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Really, it's a beautiful allegorical picture. I'm going to read to you Hebrews chapter 12. But this is another contrast being drawn. And let me make this point before I read this in Hebrews 12. You've got the Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, that is in bondage. It's in slavery, represented by Hagar. The Jerusalem above is free, the new Jerusalem. It's referred to as Zion in the Old Testament. The earthly Jerusalem was a reflection of the true Jerusalem, the real Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. You follow? The Jerusalem up above is free. On the one hand, you've got the whole point of this is comparing legalism with grace. What legalism does, it is an effort. It's an effort that from earth you make yourself more heavenly. What Christ has done is to bring heaven to earth. That's why the church represents Christ. It represents a bit of heaven. That's why it says you shine as lights in this world, right? You shine as lights in this age. I'm going to read you Hebrews 12. I'm going to begin in verse 18. And it reads, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. This is referring to Mount Sinai, which we just read about. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. If you go back into Exodus, when God revealed himself on Mount Sinai, it was a whole thing. Okay? And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They had agreed to hear the words of God, but when they saw all this fire and smoke, and blah, 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 they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. Talk to Moses. We're good. You talk to him, he can tell us. That's what happened. Sort of. For they could not endure, it says in verse 20, that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So this is referring to Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and the receiving of that law. Verse 22, but you are come unto the mount of the church, I'm sorry, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Jerusalem that is above, that is free. That's our mother, not Hagar. We are the sons and daughters of the free because of Jesus Christ, because of the grace of God, because he paid the price. We're not the sons and daughters of bondage, of slavery, of Hagar, which was represented by the law, by the controlling of the flesh. And we'll see it all come together here in just a few verses. And it says, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. The children of promise, the children of the new covenant, will far outnumber those of the old, when this is all said and done. I will leave that there for now. Then it says in verse 28, now you brothers like Isaac are the children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. This is actually the case today, and this will continue until the Lord returns and justice will be carried out. Grace and salvation by grace is anathema to the thinking of the world. It is contrary even to the flesh. You know, our flesh, just simply because of how we were raised, you're rewarded for good, you're punished for wrong. And we carry this kind of thinking into our relationship with God. And we'll see that it is the new birth. It is spirit. It's that spirit of God that enables us to carry out righteousness. It enables us to live righteously. And we grow into it. So this is the case today and will continue to be. Verse 30, but what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman with and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Now those are strong words. But like I said, Sarah and Hagar could not live together once the child of promise had been born. Those who seek a righteousness through their own efforts should not be allowed to teach in the church. And their reasoning should not be entertained. Cast it out. When your own heart endeavors to put you under some kind of law or bondage, when you're trying to measure up in some way, cast it out. Verse 31, so brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the, I just read that, slave of the free woman. And then Galatians 5:1 reads this, and I'm not going to get into this. Jim will be handling some of this next week. But it opens with these words, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Freedom, and I just want to take a minute. Freedom today is primarily about self. Freedom is defined in our culture, for the most part, as license to satisfy whatever I want, whatever desire I have, I am free to do that. It's my right. Everything's my right. And what we're going to see as we get into this is that that is not the freedom that God's Word is talking about. That's not the freedom that Jesus Christ came to give. Because what is touted as freedom in our culture is in fact bondage. It is actually slavery to your flesh. And the sad thing with the flesh is, it's never satisfied, no matter what. You'll never satisfy the flesh. And so what we'll see as we get into this is, that is what we've been freed from. Isn't that beautiful? It's a lovely thing. I'm going to close with this. If I can read it, you know what, I'll just turn to it. Ezekiel chapter 36. Because we are not children of bondage. We're children of the free woman. It's a powerful illustration and a powerful allegory. But I want to read from Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to begin in 26. And I want to say this, that prior to this verse, what God is revealing to Ezekiel is that I am doing what I'm doing to bring glory to my name. It's really beautiful. Then it says in verse 26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Isn't that something? The law as a means to righteousness is bondage. The Spirit, by grace of God, and because of what Jesus Christ wrought, enables us to carry out the righteousness of the law. Without Spirit, it is bondage. Do you see it? That's why it says, cast out the bondwoman. Cast out the legalism. Walk with your God. Walk by the Spirit that He's given you. And that's exactly where we're going in Galatians, is walking by the Spirit. Okay? So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for what Jesus Christ did for us. And boy, just what an awesome thing this is to see. Help us, Father, to get this in our hearts. Help us, Father, to see bigger and walk more in that freedom, the freedom from self, the freedom from bondage, the freedom from the fear of man and all the other things, Father, that at times hold us back. Thank you, Father, how you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And help us to be faithful men and women, Father, who just simply love you. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.